This edition of the Sessions at Midori House was first broadcast on the 18th of April 2015 on Monocle 24.
I'll take a little bit of bass as well.
You can turn it up a little bit, just a teeny bit. Yeah, that's fine.
Hey, test mic.
Rolling?
Okay, I'll record it whenever you're ready.
Let's do it, man.
You're listening to The Sessions at Midori House. I'm Andrew Muller. Today we welcome to the studio Rebecca and Megan Lovell from Atlanta, Georgia, collectively known as Larkin Poe. After honing their craft over a series of justly acclaimed EPs, the pair have recently released their debut full-length album, the appropriately entitled Kin.
Honey, don't buzz down my door, telling me what I should do. You've been around coming again, but you don't give a damn about where I've been. No, don't try to lie. Don't try to tell me. Don't try to buy me. Don't try to sell me. I know what I am. I know what.
But so is everybody else, and we all paid our dues.
Megan and Rebecca, welcome to Monocle 24, and thank you for that session. The tracks you played were off your, well, you introduced it as your debut album, Kin, but it feels weird calling it that, because it's actually kind of your fifth.
First full-length record. Yeah, all the rest have been EPs
up till now. They were long EPs, a couple of them.
They were, but I think that's part of being a young indie band, is that you can vomit all kinds of stuff out under the guise of it being an independent project, an EP. Like, it's not really serious. And I think we needed to do that before having gotten to this first official effort as a band.
Kin is also the first record we actually made in a studio and with a producer.
Was that always the plan, though? Because the four EPs, which I do recommend to any passing viewers, did have a sort of, there was a linking theme. They were named after the seasons. Was the idea always be that you would do the spring, summer, fall and winter, and then the big debut album?
Yeah, I think actually we wanted to use those EPs as a way to write, because we were very new writers at that time and we needed to have these kind of goals. So we used those EPs just to kind of make ourselves write a lot, and we did have to write a lot that year.
But then even after we released the EPs, we made another EP, and we did a couple collaboration projects. There actually really wasn't a whole lot of rhyme or reason to what we were doing as a band. I mean, we're in our early 20s, and so at that point in time, I guess we would have been 19, 20, making stuff, and I think being able to have that freedom just to mess around. But I do believe, you know, having those goals to write for was super important for us.
It ain't no secret now, my sweet one. I know you're thinking about the day when you will be long gone. I know you got a ticket in your pocket, a bag on the back step, waiting for the cab to come and take you downtown. Like a shot from a gun, like a bat out of hell, you're making for the door, as if I had you under lock and key. Baby, what's wrong with your head? This ain't no jailbreak. Oh, this ain't no jail. Oh, now keep it shaking down, baby. Oh, baby, you should just bend. Oh, I'm not trying to hold you down, I'm not your ball and chain.
Did it feel like a massively different process working on what you knew was going to be a debut album, as you said, in a studio with the producer? Because it does sound quite different to a lot of what had gone before it. I did check the label a couple of times, a few tracks in.
No. Oh. Well, I think that would be the point, is to try and grow and evolve and change your sound. Especially for us, having grown up as classical kids initially and then getting into bluegrass music. And then all the while our dad has been playing his classic rock, trying to find our sound has been an exploration in and of itself. So for Ken, I would say we did intend to change things up. And I would say it was a different process, like having a team and working with a producer and working in a real studio. It definitely did change the way that we approached with the level of intention approaching making a record.
Does it sound massively, or I guess measured against what your expectations and ideas for Kin were, does it sound very different? Were you surprised by what it turned into?
No, I think we were expecting it to be a little edgier because we've been pushing ourselves that way, because I think that's where our hearts lie, is in that kind of like classic rock and roll or maybe even harder rock. So we knew it would be edgier, and we like that. We do like that.
I did want to ask, you talked about your upbringing briefly there, that kind of mix of classical music and classic rock and bluegrass. But playing music together is something that, you know, siblings will often do. And I know you did this with another Lovell sister as well early on. But when you started making music when you were kids, was there a point at which you realized, actually, this could be more than just siblings making music? Mm-hmm. We might actually be kind of good at this.
Yes, most definitely. I would say up until we started Larkin Poe, it was all a little bit of a happy accident. We never intended to be professional musicians. So when we toured as the Lovell sisters, which was Megan and myself and our eldest sister, Jessica, it always just felt like kind of a glorified hobby. But then once our eldest sister, I guess it was right at the beginning of 2010, she said, you know, I think I'm ready to move on and try something else with my life. And that's when we really recommitted and thought to ourselves, okay, we've obviously spent enough time of our lives working on this skill, and we love doing it. And it's a hard road to hoe, but it's what we love doing. And that's when we, I think, really recommitted and started Larkin Poe.
This ain't no jail.
having spent a lot of time around various bands writing and broadcasting stuff, I'm always kind of interested in how people actually keep them together and how the personalities work. Is being a family a help or a hindrance in that respect?
Both, I think. It's the best and the worst, because we have a language that happens between the two of us, which on stage, that can be a really great thing, because I can read her so well, I can know where she's going before she even knows. But that also means I know how to push her buttons. Like and nobody else does.
Exactly.
Because I do know that the one thing that keeps a lot of bands sane is just them gritting their teeth thinking, just six more shows, get to the end of the tour, and then I don't have to see any of these people again for months.
Oh, no, but for us, it's like, all right, see you at Mom and Dad's for the celebration welcome home lunch when we touch down back in Atlanta. And I think that you said it the best. It's a little of both, the help and the hindrance, because we get to experience some of the most amazing and bonding things together. You know, we played Glastonbury last year, and so being on stage at that festival and being able to share that experience was huge for us as sisters and as bandmates. But then it's also that equal flip side of the negative of being, you know, in the van, in the tunnel at 2 a.m. driving to Germany to play, you know, a gig the next morning. Like,
do you know that in our entire lives, we've never spent more than 2 weeks apart from each other? That's a long time to spend with somebody.
That really is a very long time to spend with somebody. I can see the help and hindrance thing there. But on the subject of touring and playing and stuff, this is probably the point at which you should tell listeners what you are up to in the imminent weeks and months. Are you just touring relentlessly with this album for the foreseeable future?
Not the foreseeable future, actually. It's going to be, we have up until the summer all booked out really strong. We're here in the UK now and will be for the next couple of weeks. And then we're going to go to Scandinavia for a couple weeks more of touring. Then we'll be back home and have some time to recuperate. And then we're going to be hitting the road again in the summer. We're going to go on tour in the U.S. with Connor Oberst of Bright Eyes. So we act as his backing band, and we'll also be opening up for him on a handful of shows. And that's really exciting. And then we also do a lot of touring with Elvis Costello on his solo tours. Megan and I will support him as his musicians on stage, and we'll also open those shows. So that'll be in June. We'll be over in the U.K. with him on his tour, Elvis, for about a month, and then we'll kick into July, all Lark and Post up and down the country, playing Isle of Wight and festivals, all kinds of stuff.
So you will be in Britain and Europe a lot this summer, that being the point of this, and all these dates will of course be on your website. Have you started thinking about, there won't be another four EPs before the next album, right?
We're already thinking about the next album.
Make a wish, blow a kiss, baby, leave me crying.
You've been listening to The Sessions at Midori House. Today's guests were Lark and Poe, whose album Kin is out now on RH Music. Lark and Poe are also on tour throughout the United States and Europe. See www.larkandpoe.com for details. This show was produced by Holly Fisher, mixed by Alex Funnell, and I'm Andrew Muller. Join us again at the same time next week, but for now, have a great weekend, and thanks for listening.
About me when I die, assuming that they're still alive. Such a diva, they all agree, or will they feel the need to lie about me? About it. Anyway, they got me all dressed up, nowhere to go, but in this box, locked up safe for ages. Oh, just a hint.